and turn to, I'm going to ask you to turn to three different passages. Just put a mark in a couple of them, but we're going to be in three different passages this morning. So Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. So Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we are seeing in going on around us, Lord. And at first thought, at first look, they could be distressing. They could be even discouraging as we see world events and world things that are happening. We see the world getting further and further from you. We certainly see our country getting further and further from you. But Lord, as we know that the time of your returning is imminent, Lord, we know that we're going to see these things. And so, Lord, on one hand, they do cause us concern, but on the other hand, help us to just see the fulfillment of your word. And, Lord, just to look forward with more anticipation to the day that we will look upon you and be with you forever. Father, please be with our Sunday school hour this morning. Give us wisdom and just guide the time here. Be with the Sunday school classes that are happening around this building, Lord, and be with each student, be with each teacher, and pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just have freedom to move and to work and to teach and to guide here this morning. Father, thank you for this time that we can gather here, Lord, and just pray that everything that's done here in the morning service, our time of fellowship, all of it, Lord, would just be honoring and glorifying to you. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pause for just a moment and say that Emily says hello. So we were driving into church this morning and the phone rang. And when a phone rings and we're on our way somewhere, my response is always the same. Well, who's that? What do they want? She's like, oh, it's Emily. I was like, oh, all right, let's pull over. Let's have a conversation here. But she's actually, in all honesty, getting ready for her evening service at this point. You know, so she's about 7 hours ahead of us. And it's kind of neat when you stop and think about it. But when she first got there, it was kind of irritating because she would text us as things were happening. And with all this excitement and everything, so at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, our phones are going off. And we're like, what's going on? And then she finally, at one point, she realized what she was doing. She goes, I'm really sorry. I will wait till later and send those texts to you, you know. But she is having a great time. We just thank the Lord so much for giving her this opportunity. She got to spend that week with the Highfills. She's now back with the Kirbys. She was involved in the teaching school on Friday. Yesterday she was baking and cooking with the kids in the kitchen. And so just having a great time. Becky and I are doing great. Hardly even miss her. You know, it's just, we're having a great time. So, obviously it's different with her not being there, but you know, when she went away to college, we were a basket case. We were just, you know, every time we would pray for her, we would cry and weep. And now we're just kind of like, hey, all right, thank you, Lord. This is awesome, you know. So any of you that think that we might be struggling, we're not. We're doing okay. So if we miss her, don't get me wrong. I mean, I could see she's going to come back and somebody's going to say, your parents didn't even miss you a bit. But we do miss her, but we're doing all right. We're doing okay, right? Yeah, exactly. So, all right, that being said, we have been looking in our Sunday school hour at the signs of the end times, things that the Bible says are going to happen before the Lord's return. And a lot of scripture that we are looking at is referring to Christ's second coming, which would be when he comes and actually sets his feet upon this earth again and sets up his millennial kingdom. But we know that as Christians, we're looking for the rapture that will take place at least about 7 years before before that happens. So we know that the tribulation time is a 7-year time period. And then the Lord says that he will return and set up his kingdom and he will rule and reign here on this earth. And we understand that. And there's a lot of scripture that talks about that. We as the church, though, we as Christians in this age, we're looking for that rapture when the Lord will come and take us to be with him. We will go to meet him in the clouds. And so this morning, though, we're at that point where Jesus is talking about the signs that they will see. And so we're gonna look at that a little bit this morning from Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And we're going to kind of get a little bit of an idea of what Jesus said was going to happen. But again, keep in the back of your mind that these are not events that we are looking for, because the rapture is imminent. The rapture could happen at any moment. In fact, the word imminent means that nothing has to happen to make it happen. You understand? There's not a sign that we have to wait to see, or an event to take place, or a date in time to be reached for the Lord to come and rapture us out to meet him in the clouds. That is imminent. And the very term imminent, the very definition of imminent, means nothing has to happen. It can happen at any moment. And that's what we are living in. We know that the Lord could return at any time and take us to be with him. And so we need to be ready for that. But what does the Lord say? What did Jesus say in his earthly ministry about the things that they would see as the days were approaching? In Matthew chapter 24, that's where we're going to be predominantly this morning. But in Matthew 24, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then verse 3, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So it's important for us to recognize the things that are being asked in verse 3. But in verses 1 and 2, it talks about Jesus going out of the temple. Mark 13 and Luke 21 give a little more details. You know, there was what had happened right before this. Jesus was sitting in the temple. He was watching. People were throwing in their tithes. The widow threw in her mite. Jesus gave that teaching on the giving and so forth and all that. So now they're leaving the temple and they're coming out. And the disciples are kind of bragging about the building, the temple. Look how glorious this is. Look at how amazing this is. But Jesus says unto them, see ye not all these things. Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Just keeping this in context, I want you to just turn to Mark chapter 13, verse number 1. It says, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then verse 3 talks about him going to the Mount of Olives. In Luke chapter 21, if we go to verses 20 and following, it says this, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles." Now watch this. "Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So what Jesus is talking about in the first part of 24, first part of Luke 13, and then, Mark 13, and now these verses in Luke, is he's talking about the destruction and the overtaking of Jerusalem. And we know that that took place at 70 A.D. When Jesus said this at the temple, it was a vast, rich, and the temple was vast, rich, and splendid. It was the pride of the nation, and the nation was at peace. Yet in 40 years, all this was accomplished exactly. Jerusalem was taken by the Roman armies under the command of Titus in 70 A.D. And so when Jesus is talking, he talks first about the fall of Jerusalem, and that was actually fulfilled exactly as he predicted in 70 A.D. But then he goes on, he's at the Mount of Olives, and now he's going to talk about some other things. And in Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately." Now, in Mark 13, verse 3, it tells us what disciples came to him. It says in verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately." So four of the apostles get alone with Jesus and they say, "Hey, when are we going to see these things? Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, if you remember back to when we started this study, that was the big question for the nation of Israel. When is our Messiah going to come? When is our king going to set up his kingdom? When is all of this going to take place? And throughout the Gospels, and even in the first chapter of Acts, that question is posed over and over and over again to Jesus. And we know Jesus tells them it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. He tells them that only his Father knows when this is going to take place and everything. And everything he talks about is leading up to that millennial reign of Christ. When Christ comes back, physically steps foot on this earth again and sets up his millennial kingdom. And what a glorious, glorious event that is going to be. And so they're asking, when are we going to know these things? What are we going to see so that we'll know that these things are happening? And in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, we're going to kind of take this in just some sections as we go through it. But I find it interesting that they're asking him this question that is weighing so heavy on their hearts. You know, when are you going to come back? When are we going to see the sign of thy coming and of the end of this world? And the first thing Jesus says is, "I don't want you to be deceived. Be careful. Don't be deceived." It's interesting, you know, it's throughout the ages, there's been a lot of deception. There have been a lot of people claiming to be Christ, claiming to have miraculous power, claiming to have these things. And, you know, this goes all the way back, really, from the New Testament church and going forward. There's just been so much that has gone on here. But we also know that as Jesus is talking about these things, he's also giving us a little glimpse into what's going to take place during the tribulation. We know with the rise of the Antichrist, the false prophet, and things like that. He says here, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." It's interesting that Jesus first cautions them about being deceived, because it's interesting that seducers are more dangerous than persecutors. It's true. Seducers are more dangerous than persecutors, because seducers will take a little bit of truth, twist it, and get people to start believing lies and believing things that are not true. And if you'll remember back, and I know it's some weeks ago now, but if you remember back to when we were talking about there would be a departing from the faith and that people would give themselves over to seducing spirits and believe doctrines of devils. Here in Matthew chapter 24, as Jesus is talking with his disciples, he pleads with them, he encourages them, he exhorts them to be careful not to be deceived. And he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." If we look at verse 11, it says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." If you go over to verse number 24, it says this, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Isn't it interesting that in this one chapter, Jesus cautions them three times about being deceived? Don't be deceived. Watch out. There are going to be those that come and try to come in my name. There are even going to be those that are going to be able to do signs and wonders. They're going to do these things, but don't believe them. They're not of me. They're certainly not me. If you go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and again, this is talking about that tribulation time. It's talking about the Antichrist. It's talking about when these things are happening during the tribulation. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 8 and 9, it says this, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." You know, there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be a lot of seducing. There's going to be a lot of false doctrine. There's going to be a lot of strange teachings in the name of religion. And, you know, I understand what this is talking about. We understand the tribulation time. But isn't it interesting how we are seeing the unsaved world try to use Scripture to back up their unsaved lifestyles? It always irritated me. It made I think it was my grandfather used to say this, made my teeth itch. Whenever I would hear Nancy Pelosi quote Scripture for some ungodly thing she was trying to get passed, it would just irritate me. That's not what the Scripture says. Or yes, that's the verse, but that's not the context. And you know, it's amazing how many false teachers and how much false doctrine is going on out there. And you know, I don't watch a lot of this, but every once in a while I'll see somebody like a street preacher or somebody like that that's just trying to share the gospel. And inevitably some wicked, reprobate, immoral person will come up and want to challenge them. And when they give them the Scripture, you always hear this: well, that's not how I take it. Well, it doesn't matter how you take it. It really doesn't matter how you take it. God gave us His Scripture. The Holy Spirit moved in these people to write. This is God's holy word, and this is what God's word says. And the Bible tells us that it's not for any private interpretation. It says what it says. And when we share what it says, those that are living contrary to it will try to either explain it away or just flat out reject it completely. Here in Matthew chapter 24, as these disciples say to him, how are we going to know? What are we going to see? What's going to happen? He says, be careful. Don't be deceived. He says, there's going to be those that come in my name, and they're going to deceive many. And in 2 Thessalonians, it even told us that they could even deceive even the very elect. You know, it's amazing the power that Satan is going to generate through these false teachers and this deception that he's going to put forth. We need to be very careful. You know, as you hear things today, and as you, you know, this day and age where you can bring up on YouTube or some other thing, preachers. And it used to be that they called them the televangelists. You know, you tune into the television stations and you'd hear these guys, you know, but you don't even have to do that now. You can bring them up on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer and everything. We have to be really careful about those ones that are out there, because there's some very popular people that have some very huge congregations that are just flat out wrong. They're just flat out wrong. So when you hear things and you see things and you see things going on, I encourage you, please take your Bible and search it against the Scriptures. If it doesn't match with the Scriptures, stop listening to them. We don't need to try to make the Scriptures fit what they're saying. If the Scripture doesn't fit what they're saying, then what they're saying is wrong. And we need to be willing to walk away from that. Turn it off. Turn on something else. Get our attention onto the things that are good and godly, because there are many false teachers out there, and Satan's working overtime to twist and get people to just flat out doubt the Word of God. In verse 6 of Matthew 24, it says this: "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." You know, there's been a lot of wars. There's been a lot of conflicts, a lot of things that have been going on in this world ever since, really, Jesus gave this proclamation, gave this to us to caution us and everything. And there have been just a lot of different things going on. I did just really quick. I Googled it. But what countries right now, currently today, are in the middle of some sort of war or major conflict? And of course, Russia and Ukraine, of course, Israel and Sudan, Gaza and all that. Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Iraq, Yemen, Syria, Somalia, Libya, Central African Republic, the Dominican Republic of Congo, Myanmar, Colombia, and Mali are all currently in some sort of civil war. Isn't that something? We don't hear about all of those. We only hear about certain ones that the media wants to let us know about. But there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different conflicts that are going on. But, you know, before the Lord returns, there's going to be more. There's going to be a lot more. There's going to be battles. There's going to be nation rising up against nation. And not just the actual conflict. There's just going to be the rumors, even. It says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. You know, there's a lot of folks that are like, you know, what's going on or what's going to happen? What's the end of this going to be? And getting very concerned about things that are happening. I remember when I was in the hospital, that's when, oh my goodness, it just left me. What? Ukraine. Thank you. Ukraine. The whole Ukraine thing happened while I'm in the hospital. So I'm laying in the hospital and I'm watching this unfold on TV. And I was like, wow. And then my brother-in-law came in to see me. And he saw it was on the TV and he goes, isn't this exciting? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, wouldn't it be something if you go home before you go home? And I thought, that'd be all right, you know? And then I thought, well, I would really like to see my wife, but, you know, I'll see her there. You know, I get it, you know, but I'm watching this unfold. And for a little bit of time, as I was laying there, I got a little bit nervous. I was like, wow. Is this really what's going on? Is this what's going to happen? Is this the Lord getting ready to for his return? I remember probably most of us here would remember where we were when 9/11 took place. I remember where I was when 9/11 took place. We were living in Virginia. We were in our little apartment. I was going to Bible school at the time, and I was getting ready to go to work. At that time, I was a swing manager at a local McDonald's. Worst job I've ever had in my life. Okay, and some of you know that right now is not a great time for me. Still, I wouldn't trade this right now for McDonald's. The public's not always right. The customer's not always right. And yes, the sandwich is fine. Go away. I'm getting ready for work. And Becky was on the internet. She was doing something on the computer. And a little news thing came up in the corner of the screen. And she goes, hey, something just happened. And so we brought it up, and then we turned on the TV, and we saw the planes go into the towers. We saw the towers crumble. We heard about the plane going into the Pentagon. We heard, and we're just standing there watching this going, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe this is happening right now. And then all of a sudden, we just got this thought, is this it? And I went to work, and there were some people there that were, I want to say religious. I don't necessarily want to say believers, but they were religious. And I went to work, and as I walked through the door, they went, what is going on? Is this it? Is God going to, is this the, and you, if you remember, right when 9/11 happened and the days following, there were signs everywhere. Pray for our country. Pray for us. Pray that God will, and just pray. And it didn't take 6 months, and that all went away. And nobody was even talking about God anymore. And, you know, there have been things that have happened through our lives that have made us wonder, ooh, Lord, is this the entering? Is this what's going to happen? Is this what you're using? You know, as we see these things happening, as we see attacks happening, as we see things, you know, we know what the scripture says, and we're not going to get into it too much. But we I think it's either next week or the week after we're going to talk about Israel. And, you know, we see these things happening with Israel, and we know that, boy, when they start coming against Israel and when Russia comes down upon Israel and all these things, boy, that's it. That's the thing. Remember, that's not what we're looking for. The rapture is going to happen before all of that. So what we're seeing, though, and we saw this when we were looking at the advancement in speed and technology. We looked at it when we were looking at some of the other things that we see. What we're seeing is these things just kind of ramping up because we're getting closer, you know. And again, I can't emphasize this enough, because I got to be honest with you. I mean, in my makeup, so to speak, I guess in my DNA, because I don't want to say in my spirit, because my spirit should be better than this. But in my DNA, I'm the pessimist. I'm just waiting for something to go wrong, you know. Oh, it's sunny, you know, everything's working, everything's great, all that. Yeah, but something's coming. You know, that's just kind of my, and they're like, wow, that's got to be tough to live with. It is. Pray for. It's rough. But, you know, when we see things happening, we see things going on in our world, and we think, wow, this is awful. This is terrible. What is going on here? Relax. God's got it all under control. Please. If you don't remember anything but that, God knows exactly what's going on, whatever's happening. You know, a good study in the book of Daniel will let you know that God puts people into positions of power, and sometimes he puts evil people and allows them into positions of power, because there is a plan and there is something that is going to unfold. And we know through the scriptures that it's Christ's return, and there are things that are going to have to happen. As we see the world talking about a one world currency, when we stop and talk and hear the talk about a global community and a one world government and a one world economic system and all that, in our hearts we go, oh, that's terrible. No, that's great, because those things are going to have to get going before the Lord returns in his second coming. And we're out of here 7 years before that. So we need to, that's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at the end of the chapter, it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, don't let the events of today distract you from what's actually taking place. The Lord is going to be returning. He is coming back. And we are seeing things in this world happening and gaining some momentum because we're getting close to that time. I remember one time that I would preach on prophecy or the end times and things like that. And it was inevitable. There was this fellow in our church. He was in his, I think he was in his 80s. His name was Floyd. Floyd was a high school shop teacher. He was in the shop, the woodworking shop teacher. And he was about this tall, and he was about this skinny. And I don't know anybody that wasn't a little bit afraid of him. He had a deep voice, and he just was, bruh. And I asked him one day, I was like, you know, he was being real gruff. And he says, you don't understand. He says, I run a class with power tools and teenage boys. You got to be a little, And I was like, oh, I get it. Okay, I understand, you know. And he says, but he did that for years and years and years and years. But he loved God. He loved God's word, and he loved prophecy. He was always studying Revelation, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Daniel, all the time. And so whenever a message would come around to that, I'd be getting going and on it and stuff like that. And from the back of the room, he would yell out, when? And I go, Floyd, at any moment. And he'd go, praise God. His favorite hymn to sing was Where the Roses Never Fade. Where the Roses Never Fade. He was so looking forward to heaven and so looking forward to being with the Lord. And so as things started to unfold and as things are happening in the world, he would go, when, you know? Well, all I can say is, as it says at the end of the book of Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. That's what we do. We just, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're just looking forward to that return. But, you know, the things that we're going to see, and he discusses them here, the wars, the rumors of wars. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Isn't that interesting? These are some of the things that are going to take place. Now, we know from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6, Revelation 11, Revelation 16, we know that there's going to be massive world events that are going to take place. There's going to be just this major amount of, you know, let's go there. Revelation chapter 6. I was going to just mention it, but let's take a look at it. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 8. Revelation 6, verse 8. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. If we go over to Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, a few chapters over, chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. It says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. In the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. In verse number 19, it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his testimony. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. If we go over to chapter 16, Revelation 16. Revelation 16 in verse 17. Revelation 16 verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Isn't that interesting? Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. You know, there's going to be these things that are going to take place during that second half of the tribulation. And really, these are just things. They are judgments. They are things that are going to fall. But they're really things of God showing his great power to get people to repent and to turn to him. Literally, it's a time of reckoning for Israelites, for the Jewish people and such. But there will be others than just Jews that are going to get saved during that tribulation time and those great events that are going to take place. But they're going to be things that are just not such a time as has ever been seen in a time before. And, you know, we see and we hear of different things. There's places in our country where there's great floods. There's other places where there's great droughts and famine. There's places where we're starting to hear of earthquakes where there were no earthquakes. Some places are experiencing tornadoes where they didn't experience tornadoes before. There's going to be these great events that are going to take place centered around like what you would call quote unquote nature, but it's these things that are going to happen, and we're starting to see that. You know, I don't know how many of you know that we've had a couple of earthquakes in New Hampshire recently. You know, I mean, we have. I don't know if that's common. I don't know if that's something that happens very often, but we certainly have seen that and heard of that. Things are starting to advance that way. We're starting to see a big shift in things. Now, the world will tell you it's the climate change. You know, it's the climate change. Now, the fellow that we had here for our VBS, he was talking about how the climate really, the world really does go through these climate changes, but they're normal. They're what we see. And what's happening today isn't uncommon for what's happened in the past and so forth. And, you know, but the world will try to explain this away. But we as believers, we know that, you know, we're going to start seeing more and more of these quote unquote weird weather things as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return. I thought one day we were having a discussion at home one day about this. And I said, you know, if Noah's flood were to come today, what we would hear out of the media would be, there's just going to be some rain. Now, there is going to be some flooding, some localized flooding, but, you know, we've set up these places where you can get some help and, you know, make sure you get to these areas and so forth and whatnot. And, boy, wouldn't they be surprised, you know? And, you know, we try to explain away everything in some scientific fashion and don't actually think about, wow, this might be something that God is doing, you know? Well, as we see these things happening, as we see the wars, as we see the rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, different things that are going to be happening, we know that these things are going to happen before the Lord's return. In verse number 8, he says this, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. It's going to get worse. You understand? It's going to get worse. And that's where I want to just pause and end with this thought. It doesn't have to get worse for you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have called upon the name of the Lord, if you are one of God's children, you will not experience the wrath that is coming. You will not experience it. God will take you home before any of these terrible things of Revelation 6, 11, and 16 ever take place. If you want to do a little study, we've read the things in Revelation 6, 11, and 16. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 talks about the church being gone. We're gone. We're not even going to be here when these things happen. If you have ever called upon the name of the Lord, if you have ever given your life to God, you will not experience or see these things. He says in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. When these things happen, when the things of Revelation 6, 11, and 16 happen, we're going to be in heaven with God. We're going to be seeing our Savior. We're going to be seeing those Christian loved ones that have gone on before. We're going to be seeing those people that up until that point we only read about. Do you understand that? We're going to be able to sit down and talk with Paul and Peter, Matthew and James. We're going to see the face of our Savior, the one that died on the cross for our sins. We're going to look into his eyes. We're going to see him face to face. We're not going to have to go through any of that. You see, Genesis chapter 3, sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, death entered the world. And there became a division. And God is holy. And because of his holiness, he can't bear to be around or even look upon sin. But God in Genesis chapter 3, even then, let us know that he was going to send a Redeemer, and that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. We just got done with the Christmas season. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He lived. We know that he started his earthly ministry. We have that recorded for us in the Gospels. And then in obedience to the Father's plan, at one point he humbled himself and he went to that cross and he hung on that cross for you and for me. He paid our sin debt. He prayed to the Father in the garden before he went that it was done. He finished the work that he had come to do. When they nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he hung on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he died. He gave up the ghost. They took him off the cross, they prepared his body, and they put him in the tomb. The stone was rolled, a seal was set, guards were set, and everybody went home. And then a night and a day, a night and a day, 3 days and three nights. And then that Sunday morning, early before the sun came up, they were headed to the tomb to tend the body of Jesus. And the stone was rolled away. And the angel said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Christ lives. Christ lives. He lives. He is living. He walked on this earth another 40 days. He ascended up to the right hand of God. And one day he's coming back for you and me. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, I would urge you today to do that. The Lord loves you. God loved you enough that he sent his own son to die for you. Jesus loved you enough that he was willing to humble himself and pay your sin debt. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Please don't let today go by if you don't know Him as Savior. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You don't have to go through these things that we've been looking at. Let's pray. Heavenly